Hope everybody's had a good week. So kind of off, going off of what Rick did last week, we're here to kind of talk about our discipleship testimony. And one thing about this church in particular, and really as any believer, we are supposed to be ready to give our testimony anytime. So when Corey's like, are you ready? I'm like, yeah. We're supposed to always be able to give an account. So I don't know why he kept on asking me that. Are you ready? Are you ready? I've been ready for my whole life. Gosh, I was born ready. No. But this may not come as easy to a lot of people. But after what I tell you guys today, I do hope you take some of the things that I'm about to share with you and kind of apply those. Because if you are truly a believer and you're sitting here right now, every single one of you should be able to get up right now and do this. Now, I've got a lot I've been dealing with going on. I'm currently in JBI on my last year. I've got one left. Thank you. And it's systematic theology. Anyone know what that is? Because I don't. I'm still trying to figure it out. So, I know what it is. However, Pastor Stephen does it. You think Corey goes over? He does. Stephen goes till 10:30 at night. Mind you, I'm getting up at 5 tomorrow to go to the gym, to go to work at 6. I'm not going to get home till 10:45, 11 tomorrow night because of Stephen. So come 8 o'clock at night after I'm sitting down. Megan, you've been through it. Rick, Corey, Heather. I mean, it's tiring. So please be praying for me because I'm reading this awful book about religion, not the Bible, by John Calvin. By John Calvin. Stephen's making us read it, and it's complete and utter garbage. It is so bad. I was telling Jamie, I was going through it. You get to these high points of it, you're like, oh, this is amazing. And all of a sudden, he just completely ruins it. I'm like, you suck. Yes. Like, it seemed like it's getting good, so I'm doing that. I'm also going to missions trip here to Texas in 2 months. I think, Meg, you're going to Texas with me. I'm sorry. I thought you were going to Newark for a second. Anyway, we got to do our testimonies there. 3 minutes, and Tom's counting. And I don't know if I can do 3 minutes. It's hard. So again, when Corey's like, are you prepared? It's like, we just have to be prepared. Okay? So I want to start this. If you're 17, raise your hand. 17 years old. Okay. Let's go back to when I was 17. So I'm your age. Okay? I want to start here. All right? Kind of like what Rick did. Time hopping. Kind of go with the flow here. I promise I won't take up all your time. You will get out of here on time. I promise you. We'll be done. Can't speak for Jamie and I can't speak for Corey, but with me, we'll get through it. All right. If you want to take notes, you can, but I just want to speak a little bit from the heart. Really the things I went through. So I'm 17. I'm the cool guy in school. If you look back at the picture there in the center, believe it or not, that was good looking back in 99, 2000. That was the look. I kind of had it. I didn't have this tight pants thing going on, whatever you guys call now, having your grandma's haircut. I don't know what it is. So I go all through high school, nice kid. I didn't party. I went to parties, but I didn't do drugs. I didn't, you know, smoke weed. I really didn't drink. I wasn't that kind of person. Believe it or not, I was a nice guy. I know. Shut up. Yeah, I was a nice guy. Fast forward a little bit near the end of my senior year, February 3rd, 2001. A month before that, Stephen and I are talking, Stephen Winicka. Again, we have a lot of guests here, so you don't know who that is. He's our associate pastor. He's Corey's boss, right? Kind of?
Yeah, ish.
Ish, yeah. When Corey messes up, it goes to Stephen, and he has to fix it. So it's quite often. Anyway, he said, hey, man, I need you to come play drums for me at my church. I was like, sweet, are there girls? Yeah, they're girls. And you laugh. I was a ladies' man, guys. Jamie, can I get an amen? I was a ladies' man. Freshman year, I get asked to prom, not once, not twice, but thrice. I went to every dance. I mean, I just, listen, I'm not boasting myself. It's disgusting what I did. I'm just being honest with you. I had a girlfriend constantly. Broke up with one, girl with the next. I was the guy that broke up with the girl before Valentine's Day because I didn't have any money. I don't want to buy her anything. You laugh. I did it. Was I nice to them? Yes, but I didn't have the social media crap following me around either. I was also not a pansy and didn't do it via text message like some of y'all. You know who you are. Girls, if you ever have a man do that, he's garbage. So I'm just saying, we handled our business in person. And then she cried and you just walked away. So Stephen invites me. I go. I said, okay, what do I got to do? He's like, I just need you to play drums for our worship team. I really didn't know what worship or anything meant. So to set that context, I was raised Catholic. Is anyone visitors? Are you guys Catholic? Darn it, because I was really going to bash them. No, I'm not going to do that. But listen, I'm not making fun of other religions, but I was raised in the Catholic Church. I always had issues with the Catholic Church growing up. I was in a youth group there called STARS. To this day, I don't know what it means. I don't think it meant anything. I think they just had a name, STARS. We hung out, literally just hung out. Never have anything what you guys have. We just got together and hung out. Hung out. Are you deaf?
You said hung.
Hung. Listen, I know what I say and I speak eloquently, so I don't know what it is you're hearing. So we got together, hung out. We never had anything with the Bible. Never read a Bible a day in my life. I was an altar boy. I held the Bible. It was about yay big, all red with golden flake pages, and I wasn't allowed to look at it. I was forbidden to look at it because as the altar boy, you didn't do it. Okay? So kind of know where I'm going with that. So when Stephen brings me to church, I'm walking in like, where's the holy water? I am completely new to all this. Now, a lot of you guys have grown up in this church. I've known a lot of you guys since you were babies. And most of us here probably did grow up in the church. You're talking to a guy who didn't. Very fortunate to have the parents and the family that I did. To this day, I'm 41 and I still get the I love yous from my dad. Constantly smothered. A lot of people in here probably can't say that. So even though I wasn't raised in a Christian home, I'm very, very fortunate for the parents that I have to this day. So I go, I walk in, it's completely new. Everyone's got a Bible. Don't have that. I play my drums. I'm the new guy. Hey, Stephen, who's that? Hey, who's that? I know. No, it gets worse. Terrible friend I am. I start talking to Stephen's ex-girlfriend. I'm allowed to say this. We're married. Not Stephen and I, but we've moved on. But he's a friend of mine, but I don't know all this at the time. I didn't know that this was the girl that he broke up. And if you know Stephen, he pours his heart into everything, right? I mean, you just know that about him. So I'm like, oh, dude, I just messed up. So we start talking, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't really go anywhere at first, but he's like, listen, I need you to come to camp with me. Okay, like summer camp? He goes, no, winter camp. So come there. We go to Stony Glen. You heard of it? Yeah. We go there. It's crazy. So that's why it's a very special place for me. So we go up there as his guest. I go to play the drums. The setup that we have there now, if you guys remember, it wasn't quite like that. There was another building in that place, and it was kind of turned around, and where the chapel is just right outside, there were other cabins there, not nearly as nice what we got now. So I go in, and I hear a message from Pastor Rory, and I don't remember the exact verbatim of the message, but it was along the lines of hell being real. Literally, no pun intended, scared the hell out of me. And I don't know what it was about that night, but some of you who, when you accepted Christ as your Savior, you made that personal connection, you felt a difference, right? You felt a change. Now, mind you, going back, I was not a horrible person, but I was a player, and I'm not bragging. It's wrong. I'm disgusted by what I did, how I acted. Even though I wasn't mean per se, I lived a sinful life, but I was still that good guy. So in the back of my mind, I'm not really doing anything wrong per se. I'm not killing anybody. Some of you guys might even equate to that right now. We can all say, yo, I'm a good person, but you're still messing up. You still do things you shouldn't. You following? I'm really hitting hard on you guys. So remember, I'm 17. I think I got it all figured out. I don't have it figured out. So when we're up here and we tell you guys some of these personal stories, maybe for Ricky a lot longer than me, no offense, just by a few years, it's because we went through it. You don't know how fortunate you are at your age now, knowing where you're at and having the biblical knowledge, the understanding at your age now. I knew nothing about this. So again, I have not even opened up my Bible at the time. I don't know what this is. But I get saved, okay? I even go to Stephen. I remember stepping outside the cabin. It was freezing cold. There was 3 feet of snow on the ground. And I said, I just have this weird feeling about everything. It wasn't an emotional, you know, thing to where some people like, you know, you have to experience that. I didn't really have that. But I felt that change. I said, man, it's just more like a weight lifted off my shoulder. And I'm dating a girl, right? And I remember telling Stephen's like, listen, man, it is that simple. You just got saved. And I remember just kind of just getting down on my knees, just like, oh my gosh, like just that weight. Anyone ever experienced that? I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about? So I know there's a change in my heart there. I felt it. I go back to school. I am that guy with my NIV Bible. It's all we had at the time. Walking around, my chest pumped out. Anybody else here done that? I mean, look at me. I go up to my girlfriend, we need to break up. And to walk away. It was hard. I was dating this girl probably the longest in my high school career. So again, this is, I know, it's not cool. It's not good. But I'm trying to give you guys some perspective here, because some of you guys have talked to me. Listen, some of you guys have talked to me about girls. And I think it was Brian Brown that said it a while back at one of the camps. If you can go through high school and not have to date and deal with that heartache, awesome. It was Scott Brown, the other Brown. Thank you. But it's so true. The heartache and misery you go through, especially as a teenager, and especially in today's world, I mean, those things lead to depression, suicide like no other. So if you can go without it, if you know God and go without it, oh, I'm jealous. I'm envious of you if you can do that. I couldn't do that. So I go through that breakup. It's near the end of my senior year. I'm talking to Stephen. You know, we're going through youth group there at Calvary Bible Church, which is Pastor Rory's old church. And then I go to my first summer camp. It's nothing like we do here, and that's it. I feel like everything stopped. And we're like, well, what do you mean by that? Well, that's when Pastor Rory's church at that time split for the second time. So you have a new believer who just got saved. I'm what, 3 months into it? I've not really opened my Bible per se to understand what it is I'm being taught. I'm using a translation I know nothing about. Ecclesiastes is Ecclesiastes, and Job is Job. I mean, we've all been there. You don't know what they are. How many books are in here? Where do I start? Talk about confusion. So I turn back and I'm like, man, I don't know if I can do this. Stephen goes one way, I go another. Not his fault, nothing bad there. It's just the church split, and I didn't know what was going on. I'm a young kid. I'm stupid. You know, I just turned 18 a month following me getting saved. So I go up to college. Let's not go through those years, but come back from college. Stephen's still checking up on me, which is why you always have that one guy. You know, it's why he's always a big, very important in my person in my life, because he led me to the Lord, and we're still here together now, which is really cool. But I find another girl. He's like, how's you know, your walk going? I'm like, yeah, I met a girl. Jamie, don't laugh, because you know where I'm going with this. Actually, you know what? I'm skipping to another girl because I don't want to talk about the one. No. Listen. I've had these conversations with my wife, and she thinks they're hilarious. So I'm okay to share it. Let's go with Faith. I'm going to skip Lindsay. Yeah. So anyway, I meet this girl named Faith. I'm like, oh, this girl's, yeah, she's very pretty. Girl could sing. I mean, she was she actually made it on American Idol in 2001 to one of the main auditions to go out, but she turned the one down. Like, she was just that good of a singer. She was a professional singer. She was paid to sing. Anyway, so she's like, you got to come to my parents' church. It's called David's House. I'm like, oh, okay. If you know where I'm going, Corey's laughing. Well, David's House is the most charismatic church in Summit County. So I walk in, meet her parents. I'm Apostle so-and-so, and this is my wife, Pastor, who's also an Apostle, Teresa. I'm like, say what? Still new. This is maybe a year or two after. Like, Apostle of what? Again, no discipleship has been introduced to my life. Never even heard the word. Heard of disciples. You know, I wasn't completely stupid being Catholic. You hear the names, but you're not comprehending what they are. That's why it's important where you're at, you guys know. So I get introduced to the charismatic ways, you know, the tambourine clinging flag, cowbell, you know. And I mean it like that, because if they just do this, you ain't gonna fall. I tried it, didn't work. It's garbage. So I did dabble on that, and I remember, I'm not kidding you, we used a translation called the NLT. Anyone know what that means? No, New Lying. New Lying. See what I did? Yes, it is the New Living. Taking back, again, coming from an NIV style, looking at this, I go, something doesn't seem right. So already God's at work in his own way. I don't really know what's going on. I'm 20 years old, okay? Don't know much about it. There was some stuff that just happened that was just so out in left field. If you don't play baseball, I understand if you don't get that. But out in left field. And I just didn't think, I called Stephen around, I mean, like 11 o'clock at night. I said, hey, you got me? He goes, yeah, what's up? I said, well, you know, I'm talking to so-and-so. He's like, yeah, how's that going? I said, dude, she just told me the craziest story. She said she went to bed and had a dream that she was seeing her. She's a family of four, and that her sister before her had passed away in the womb. And she, and in her dream, her sister gave her a golden bracelet. And she woke up and she was wearing that bracelet. Said, "That's it, I'm out. I lost it." So she says she woke up with a bracelet in real life from a dream that she had. So can you think demonic stuff going on here? To me, it was just freaking me out. I said, "I don't care how pretty you are. I don't care how good you can sing. You freaking psycho." Another one of those. Walked away. Steven's like, "Listen, you got to come down to, I didn't want to go there. You got to come down to New Philly." It is turning into that. Dang it. Okay, I'm going to bring up Lindsay here in a second. I'm going somewhere with this. Fast forward, I go down to, Corey, help me out. What was the 720? 640, thank you. I couldn't, it's been so long. So I go down to New Philly, driving from Akron all the way down. Don't know anything about First Baptist Church of New Philly. There's a thing here. There's girls, you can come hang out. Sweet, you got me, I'm in. I go down, first guy I meet, Ed Kramer. You heard of him? Yeah. One of our deacons. Awesome dude. I fell in love right there with Ed. I did. I also met Carrie, his future wife. Didn't know any of that was going on, okay? But how do I end up dating the pastor's daughter within 3 days? Because I'm an idiot. So I start dating the pastor's daughter from down there. "Hey, who's that new guy, Ed?" "Oh, that's my friend Andy I just met." So yeah. So this one was even worse. Just because you're a PK, boys, PK, stay away. Let me just say that. If they're a PK, stay away. Okay? Say it with me. PK, stay away. Very good. All right. Watch them. I have no biblical guidance. Still don't know what discipleship is, right? This girl, the pastor's daughter, was the biggest Jezebel, and I'm doing everything I can not to have a curse word because she was so bad. I'll leave it at that. Heather, you're shaking your head. You know what this is. Completely manipulates everything. Psycho, I mean, just completely turned me away from Christianity in a sense. Like, I was so hurt by the things that she did. I did not think that evil could come in from a woman like that. And I'm just like, holy crap. That eventually it spilled over even in my relationship years later with Jamie, because we were still dealing with unfinished things that she was wrong in that I was trying to fix. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So Stephen pulls me aside, like, "Hey, we're going to be planting this church up in Jackson. I think it'd be a good idea if you get plugged in." Stop. I don't even want to bring up the time I had to meet you for the first time.
Or me.
So I come up to Jackson. "Are there girls?" "Well, yeah, okay." So I come up and I dabble and I see what's going on. So as I'm going through Jackson, what did I do? I came up here literally to play, because Stephen was singing. I was doing an accompaniment for Stephen over at the high school. So before we actually had the church here, before the ground was even broke. So I go to the high school. The first guy I met at this church is John Adamski. So, and it's just crazy how clear these things are when you're going back. Because I even thought about this all week, praying about, like, how do I take this through so you guys can kind of see how God really, am I boring you?
No, I have to pee.
We'll wait. How God can really take somebody through the ups and downs. And then I start thinking from a perspective up here, you know, in Corey's eyes and Rick's and in any all the leaders, when we see you guys kind of going through what we did, it's like, no, stop. Because we all do go through the same things. What you guys think at your age, we still think at our ages. It just happens. But we just know how to deal with it a little better because we've been there. We've also now been more matured in our walk. We understand a little bit more. And honestly, you just have to kind of sometimes go through it and learn the hard way, but you really can't do it without this. So again, mind you, I'm not completely immersed in this. I'm still learning. I'm technically out of the baby stage, but I was still doing things my way. I had my toes in the Kool-Aid, you know, but I'm still like, you know, I'm not really a bad guy, but I've been dating all these Christian girls. It's been good, except Lindsay. She was a real Jezebel, you know, like, okay. Don't worry about it, Sam. Anyway, So I come up, I go play. Steven's like, you need to start coming to this church. I said, I don't know, man. I mean, everything's been going on, you know, with the breakup from the one crazy girl to the next crazy girl. I was like, enough of that. You just got to start coming around, getting plugged in. You okay?
Sorry, I yawned. What's happening?
I didn't think I was boring you that bad. You just have a big yawn. It just captured me. I am. Squirrel. So I come back, and he's like, hey, come over to the house. We're going to start a Bible study. So I do. Go over to this house. First person I meet, Corey, do not laugh. Sarah Wilson.
You realize I can't put any of this on the podcast, right?
Why?
Could you keep name dropping?
So what? They're all married. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. It's learning. So we start talking, and I remember Steven's like, dude, what are you doing? I said, I can't help myself. Like, I felt like I always had to, like, date or be involved. And she turned out being a jackaloo, you know? I'm just like, whatever. So another one of those, you know what? We're done. So there's a pattern here.
Yeah, there is.
I suck at dating. I just do. It's like I find these psychos. So I'm like, okay. And listen, I've always been the type to say, if I'm wrong, I'll own it. Jamie knows it. If I'm wrong, I will own it. Hey, I messed up. I spoke incorrectly, or I was wrong on this subject, whatever. I will own that. But man, I wasn't doing anything there. It was the chicks. 100% it was the girls. No offense. So, Stephen again is like, okay, that's it. You are swearing off dating. Okay. He's like, here it comes. You need to get into discipleship. Dude, that's like Pentecost talk. Disciple, apostle. He's like, no, it's biblical. So again, this is all new because we didn't have this at the first church with Stephen going to Calvary. He didn't even know. So I'm coming off the NIV, coming off the NLT. Now he gives me one of these, a King James. I'm like, dude, I don't speak Shakespeare. And I literally said that. And he's laughing because if you know, I mean, we just have that humor. We back and forth, him and I, like Rick and I and Corey and I. I mean, that's just what we do with one another. And I remember looking at it the first time, I'm like, what the heck? I can't read any other translation now. I just can't. And if you've done this, you know, Megan, you're nodding your head. It's true. When you look back on it, I mean, there's a reason why this is really the preserved word of God when you search the scriptures. But aside from that, he's gone through discipleship. Dude, it'll change your life. It's been impactful for me. I go, who discipled you? He said, his name's Doug Kilcherman. Doug is a pastor we sent down. Corey, what year? It's been a while now.
2013, I think.
It's been that long?
I think so.
They went to Dover. He's got a son that's been to camp with us, Levi. Some of you guys are nodding your head. Levi came last year, the year before. He's like, I think you should talk to him. So I don't even think Doug was an associate pastor here at the time when he was doing that. That right? No, he just was a faithful member and man of God. So Stephen introduces me and we talk and we kind of just go through the motions. He's like, so what do you think? I'm like, sure. I'm a people pleaser. I'm a yes man. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. So I get introduced to this binder, kind of like what Rick had. We didn't have what we have now, the journey books. And I'm just like, are you freaking kidding me? You know, I'm like, my heart really wasn't in it. I'll just be honest. I looked at that. I was like, look at all these assignments. Like, God, I do love you, but do I love you enough? So you guys know where I'm at. You've been there. You might be there right now. Okay. So we meet. Doug's like, well, I can only meet Saturday mornings. Sure you can. 9 a.m. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? 9 a.m.? So I start going over to his house. And if you know anything about the Kilchermans, it's loud in that house. Heather, you're smiling. It was just loud because Levi was little. Hannah was little. Sophia was just born. I think there was a fourth.
Luke.
Yeah, that's right. Luke was playing video games. But everybody, it was just loud in the house. So I'd come over and Doug would be taking me through the Bible. We'd be opening up stuff. And, you know, he would say, all right, do you know the books of the Bible? I'm like, no, I don't. I don't want to sound stupid. I mean, if I read them, yeah, I know. Okay, here's Genesis. You know, what do you know about Genesis? And I'm like, it's the first book. I mean, that dumb. I shouldn't even say dumb because some people just don't know. I'm just one of those guys who really didn't know. I'm finally actually opening up the Bible for the first time, learning about what it has to say instead of sitting in a pew at church, just, okay, turn with me to such and such book. We could all just turn to such and such book, but what does it say? What does it really mean? I don't even know exactly what I'm going through at that time. Again, I'm 20, 21 now, about 21. You know, I'm an adult. I can make my own decisions. I'm living on my own. It's like, what is it I'm supposed to be doing? I don't have it figured out. That's what I'm getting at. I have no idea. Mallory, stop yawning. So I don't have it figured out at all. I'm like, man, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing with this. So he's like, we're going to start real slow. So we go through. He's taking me through the first steps. You know, who is God? And he's, you know, he's that type of guy discipling. No, I need you to, that's a question. I need you to answer for me. And I'm like, well, he's God. No, I need you to answer. And he's really ticking me off. I'm like, I just gave you the answer, man. He's God. I've never been put in a position to think about that. Like, okay, who is God? Because again, going back, the Catholic Church did nothing like that. The Pentecostal Church was so whacked. I was down in New Philly for the wrong reasons, not even paying attention to it. Now you have me here asking who God is. I couldn't give an answer. Truly, and like an understanding, like, well, who's God? He's like, who is God of the Bible? And when you say it like that, there's meaning behind it. It's different. Because we all, I mean, lost people, even the devils acknowledge there's God. So when you think about it like that, it's like, who is God of the Bible? And it had me thinking. So we're meeting consistently, going through. And then I kid you not, where things kind of turned off a little bit is every Saturday after a few months we're meeting at his house, that man had a Jehovah Witness at the house like clockwork. I think he did it on purpose. So guess how much stuff we did? Nothing. He would just be arguing with Jehovah Witnesses. I'd come in, I show up, I'm like, what the heck is happening? He somehow either had it planned or he just didn't like me enough and he just wanted to talk Jehovah Witnesses. But he'd be in there ripping them a new one. And I'm just sitting back like, okay. And they got their little skinny ties on. And even me, I'm like, guys, you sound pretty stupid. Like, he's schooling you. And I'm just like, yeah, Doug, that's awesome. I couldn't do it, but you're doing it. And I'm like the best cheerleader. I'm like, yeah, awesome. So 6 months go by for other unseen events, nothing bad. We can't meet on that day. I think part of it was my job and Doug had other things going on. He's like, hey, is there any day you can meet? I said, no, so we have to switch disciples. Not the worst thing, it does happen. So I get put with a guy named Mark Bagwell. No longer goes to this church. Mark's a great guy. He's more down to earth, kind of, you know, my speed, my style, sarcastic. Fast forward, we're meeting. I didn't get the same teaching from Mark like I did from Doug. It wasn't that he wasn't doing good. It just didn't seem right. Things happened there that they left this church. I'm without a disciple again. That's two. I'm 0-2. So that would be like 0-72, if I'm being honest. Hit a grand slam. That's right. Anyway, so we're going around, and you know, I'm back in here. I'm regularly attending here. I'm involved with singles. Our group at the time was called Overflow, and guess who picked that one? Aaron Stanley, our other pastor. Overflow, man, it's awesome. It's got this, it's a well, and it's got stuff overflowing. I'm like, stupid, but whatever. I'm not going to argue it. Aaron's another guy I went to high school with, so he graduated first, then me, then Steven. We all went to school together. And I'll never forget when Aaron came up here, I'm like, Aaron, the drug user, the dude that dropped acid all the time? I can say this because he'll openly tell you. And he's one of my best friends. Yeah, he's a pastor. I'm like, what is going on? So again, God is God of the impossible. He can do all things. Because if you were to ask me back in high school there, I'm like, hey, you're freaking nuts. There's no way that guy's going to be a pastor. So it's really cool, his testimony. So he pulls me aside. He's like, hey, man, we're going to finish up discipleship with you. I'm almost done, mind you. Because with Mark, we finished like two or three more. So I'm almost done. He's like, but here's the thing. We're starting from scratch. What? Oh, yeah. He goes, we're starting over. He goes, you need to completely start over. I was mad. I said, dude, don't do this to me. I kind of want to be done. I want to just check it off. Raise your hand right now if you have that thought. You just want to check it off. Be honest. You're just like, I'm almost there. Just let's get it done, right? So that's what I did. Aaron took me through discipleship like no other. He stretched my mind and my thinking and made me, you'll hear him say this, look beneath, look deeper, stay out of the shallow and get deep into it. Parts to where it drove me insane. Insane. I'm like, dude, you are ridiculous. He preached eschatology, eschatology, eschatology. And if you know Aaron, you know where I'm getting with that. I mean, Corey, we know him from then too, how crazy he was about it. This guy was a walking Old Testament, and Aaron, know your audience here. I'm simple. I don't think like that. I mean, we would almost get into fist fights. Like, enough. Like, you're hammering too much. But it was the best thing that could have happened to me, because he really opened up my eyes to what discipleship truly was and what the Bible had to say. He made me do things I didn't want to do. He made me go to prisons to disciple and witness. Why would you send a cop to prisons to people I maybe put there? Not smart, but I did. We used to go down to Indian River. You guys know where that is? Some of you maybe have been there. No? Okay. You raise your hand. And he's like, you got to go talk to him. I'm like, dude, I don't want to. I mean, these kids are like killers. Some of them, like, for real. He's like, trust me. He would make me pick up hitchhikers with him, just go witness to people. So your mall ministry is awesome. It's safe compared to what Aaron made me do. We'd be in the car, be like, oh, let's go get this guy. Dude, are you kidding me? He's probably got needles infested with AIDS and everything else, and he got gun. I mean, picking up the lowest of low lives. But that was his ministry. So we talk about sometimes being comfortable in uncomfortable situations. That was it. That was a big part of it, because he really stretched me in that thinking. So when we finally got to it, Aaron showed me what discipleship was. And afterwards, after I got discipled, and I'm like, okay, I finally think I have a grasp of it, a better understanding. I'm not all the way there, because I'm a sinner. I sinned this morning, I'm sure. I can't think exactly what it was. I'm sure I thought something I shouldn't have. I'm constantly a sinner. And so were you. But if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a sinner saved by grace. So that's what kept me going. And I finally get that understanding of it, like what the Bible says, what it means, what God did for me. Looking back, it still doesn't make complete sense. But he put me through those times in my life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, for a reason. To grow through that. The dating, like I tell you guys directly, it's not worth it because of what you have to go through, the heartache. You hear what I've had to say with the crazy girls I had to date. I chose to date, you know. And it's been just a nightmare. But now fast forward. So I've talked about now how I went through discipleship, how Aaron really prepped me, showed me really what the Bible had to say. I meet another girl. Maybe I'm ready. She walks right by me. Doesn't even give me a hey. And I was like, And she just didn't even acknowledge me. And I said, oh, she's going to be mine. So I did what any reasonable young Christian man did. I stalked her. I did. I'm telling the story. Luckily, I was friends with mutual friends. And I said, who is that? Like, oh, you would like her. Why? Oh, she's a churchy like you. She's a church girl. I'm like, oh, so I'm a church girl? Anyway, that's what they said. Like, because they knew I was in the church. And I was like, I'm not dating anyone. So we set it up. You know, like, hey, you know that guy you just blew off? She's like, yeah. Well, he wanted your number.
Yeah.
So can I? First, buddy. Reclaiming my time. So, rude. I finally get to go out with Jamie. We were supposed to actually go out, like, to dinner, but I just, like, you know, forget it. I got to see this girl because she's so pretty. So I get her a call. I'm like, can we meet for lunch instead? So we end up going to meet, and as soon as I sat down, she was hooked. I mean, I was hooked. And I said, I knew, honestly, after we kind of talked, because after our second date, she flat out said, listen, I want to be honest with you. I'm not here just to date. I'm looking for a husband, a godly man. She just laid all this stuff out. And I knew. Excuse me?
Huh?
Yeah. I knew I was going to marry her. So when guys ask, well, how do you know when it's the one? You just know. You just do. Corey can say this. Well, Rick can say the same thing. So you really just know. So when she laid it out like that, now Jamie also at that same time was in between churches. I didn't have to force this, which is cool. And I don't want to take up much more time. I'm going to let her share. She did everything else on her own of seeking out coming here, discipleship leading into that. But the point of it is, guys, on my end, you see where I started at some of you guys at your age. Raise your hand if you're 17 again. Who was it? 17. So I'm your age. Again, that good looking dude back there. You see kind of the crap I went through, okay, the ups and downs. You guys are in a unique spot in your lives because you're here in an environment like this, and you are light years ahead. Light years ahead. And I'm jealous of that with a lot of you guys. I really am, because I didn't get this until later on. Ricky didn't get this until later on. I'm not a walking Bible thumper. I'm not, all right? I have to try very, very hard of where I'm at, but I know what I need to do. And at the end of the day, I don't argue. I believe this book without a doubt. There's nothing in here that can be proven wrong. I know that. And if I don't know something, I don't waste time with people who are academic and think that they're, you know, theologians. Screw them. I don't care. I believe the book, 100%. And if you don't believe me, and I know Corey has said this, Oliver Patrick said it, don't take my word for it. Read it yourself. It's plain English. It is not hard. We make things hard. So discipleship is key because it's biblical. And basically, I again, just for time's sake, Ricky hit all the verses as well. You know, Matthew 28:19, 2 Timothy 2:2. There's so many things we can go on to in there. But the greatest thing for me with discipleship now, after going through what I went through, is being able to disciple some of you. That has been one of the biggest highlights of my life. Two most important decisions in your life: accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and who you're going to marry. Okay? I think a third one is being that disciple. Who you're going to disciple, if I had to throw it out there. I've been fortunate to disciple a bunch of senior hires. I just got done finishing with Warren. How was I?
Horrible.
I'll kill you. And I'm speaking for everybody who does disciple. If you disciple, you get more out of it, just as much, if not more. I love discipling. Corey won't give me anybody right now, so I'm blaming him. I feel like I need to disciple, because that's what we're called to do. I don't feel called to full-time ministry, but man, if I can make God look good by just being a faithful discipler to somebody, whether it's a senior high student or adult, I don't care. That's what our mission is, okay? The battle for, or the theme of the Bible is the battle of the throne, okay? How do we do that? We win people by discipling them one-on-one. That's what's important of this. So aside from all the funny things, the ups and downs that I may have gone through, yes, that you heard, take the key point of this is that discipleship is key. It's important. It is what we're called to do. If you're not doing it, you need to be discipled. If you are discipled and you're not discipling, ask one of us, who can I disciple? Who needs it? Somebody always needs it. They may not be here in the church. It could be someone at school. So I thank you guys for your time on that. I am going to bring up, she's got 10 minutes. See if she can bring it home. My better half, Jamie. I don't know if they're clapping for you or clapping that I'm done.
I think it's that you're done.
Probably that I'm done.
I think it's that you're done.
Let me do it. Stop it.
I
like doing this. There we go.
Okay. Is it still moving? It's moving.
It's moving. 44 minutes.
I hate hearing myself on podcast. Okay. So, funny story. He botched that, by the way. We were dating when you were between Doug and Mark, by the way.
We were?
We had already started dating.
I don't believe any of it.
Anyways.
Huh? Now I don't believe any of it. I got my time. I'm old.
I'm not a big historian, so I'll give you like the Reader's Digest version of my testimony. So I grew up in the church, basically got sent to live with my grandparents at age 4. Mom was a drug addict, dad was a drug addict, dad went to jail. So the only stable home was my grandparents. And they went to a Christian church over off of Greenwood. And I grew up there, went every Wednesday night, every Sunday morning. But at home, it wasn't a Christian home. So they were playing church, and I learned how to play church. I learned how to be like the morally good kid. I was like straight A student and never got in trouble at school, never needed a teacher's, what are they called? Parent-teacher conference. Like I was like the model kid, you know, all the things. Never got into trouble. Just kind of like friends with everybody. But it was more of like the chameleon phase of like, I didn't want people to really know what was going on at home. So I just had to be bubbly all the time and, you know, perfect little Jamie so that people thought that my home was perfect because it sucked. And went to VBS several years, like my whole life. And at 11, had a VBS instructor. I'll never forget her. She's sitting there and she's like, do you just know that God loves you? I'm like, my parents don't even love me. Like, that's impossible. How does anybody love you when your parents don't love you? And she just hammered it all day long. And she just kept saying, you know, Jesus just loves you. He loves you so much. He just wants to be with you. He just wants your heart. Just give him your heart. And I was like, this is dumb. I'm 11 years old. I go home that night and I was like, all right. Listened to it all day long. And I just couldn't get that thought out of my head. Like, somebody actually loves me. Like, what does that mean? What does that look like? And I'm like, God, if you really love me, like, just save me. Like, I'm miserable. And I'm sad all the time, and I just need you. And so that's the day I got saved. I don't know the exact date. I remember that day in my room. And I, like Andy said, like I felt that change. At 11, like I just felt different. Like I was like, oh, like I wasn't so sad. I was still sad. My circumstances were rough. And kept going to that same church. And every Sunday, people would go get baptized down front. You know, they had baptismal, and they'd do an altar call every Sunday. And so at age 13, on my 13th birthday, I said, I'm going to make it special. I'm going to get baptized for Jesus today. So I went down, got baptized. It was awesome. And that's kind of where it, like, died. Like, I just still stayed morally good and just did the right thing all the time. I'd talk to people about Jesus. But by and large, my walk with God was, it was works-based. It was, how can I make God happy today? Because I was just so used to being a disappointment. So I just was always trying to like keep God happy. And so I had no one to show me what reading your Bible looked like. No one to walk me through what a relationship with Jesus looked like. I was always relying on my own strength, but always feeling inadequate. Like just never could measure up. Heard all the Bible stories. So like when Andy and I met, like I knew all the stories, like I knew the Bible per se, but I had my NIV. And so fast forward a little bit, I kind of like have the same testimony as Andy a little bit. I dated a lot of guys because I was missing that piece in my life. Like I was missing a dad. I just wanted to be loved. And so I felt like I had to have an attachment to a boy. And so I started dating a guy, a PK. Stay away. Moral of the story. No. So I started dating a pastor's kid in eighth grade, and he was like Mr. Popular, very handsome, football player, quarterback, the whole thing. I was a cheerleader. It was like, stars. And we were like the it couple all through middle school, high school. I actually got in a fist fight with a girl for flirting with my boyfriend. Like, it was crazy. So, which is why I have a little bit of an anger issue. It's bad, yeah. But through high school, our relationship started to get really tumultuous and very toxic and very obsessive and lots of jealousy. He had a really bad porn addiction that I was really upset about, like really like broke my soul that he was addicted to pornography. And his dad was a youth pastor. And so I literally kept telling them, like, your son has problems. And, you know, I was like the evil girl. And so long story short, we ended our relationship as I was kind of like coming out of my sophomore year of college. We were engaged to be married. 3 months before the wedding, I called it off because he had found another girl. And so I had sworn off guys and actually was super ticked at the church because my whole, all through high school, I was going to church with them. At a Pentecostal church because he was a youth pastor. And so I'd kind of like left my grandparents' church and went over there and made a lot of friends. Never really walked with the Lord in any of it. It was all flesh. It was terrible. And when that happened, that was like a pivotal moment where I was like, screw this. Like, I'm done playing the game. Done being the good girl. Done being the morally like right person. It's not getting me anywhere. I'm done. And so I took 3 months of my life and trashed my life, trashed my testimony with everyone I knew, went out drinking with my friends from college, and went out one night with my best friend, got so drunk that I blacked out. Don't remember anything. Don't remember a single thing from that night. Woke up on her bathroom floor with her mom standing over me saying, I heard her going, Courtney, I think we need to call 911. I don't think she's breathing. Courtney, we're just gonna call 911. I was like, no, I'm awake, I'm fine. And I remember like for 2 days hugging the toilet, just puking nonstop. I was so sick. And on the second day, I missed clinicals for nursing school, which was a big no-no. Like, you miss 2 clinicals, you're out of the program. It was ruining my life because I was angry at God. And so stupid. So I prayed that morning. I said, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't really know if I know you, but I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm done with everything. Just help me figure this out. And it was literally 3 weeks after that that I walked into Verizon. I was so skinny because I had been starving myself for so long because I was so angry at my ex that I had stopped eating. So when I met Andy, I was super cute at 105 pounds soaking wet. And walked in, went to the back to get my phone fixed by my friend Tony, and didn't even see him. I'll be honest, I didn't see him at all. Get this text message, well, actually Facebook message, when Facebook was only for college students before you guys actually had access. They weren't alive. So I got a Facebook message from my ex-boyfriend, Tim, not the one that I almost married, but a different guy, who we had just been friends, you know, for a long time. And he's like, hey, are you dating anybody? I was like, no, and I don't want to. I was like, I'm not interested. And he's like, well, I think you would be interested in this guy. He's really nice. He works with me at Verizon. And the first thing I asked him was because he goes, he thinks you're really pretty. And I was like, is he a creep? Because I was just so not in, I was not anywhere thinking about dating a guy because I'd been so hurt. And he's like, no, he's not a creep. Like, just, can I give him your number? And I was like, whatever, he won't call. So he calls, and we start talking. Oh, you remember, that's the number I had to get rid of. So he calls, we start talking, and what he doesn't know is that my life was a total train wreck then, and he felt like home. And he's like, will you come to church with me? I was like, yeah, sure, why not? I'm not going anywhere. And I walked in here, and man, like, I just felt like this was home. And so I started going to singles with him. And it was there that I met Tiffany Hargrave. Well, she's Hargrave now, but she was Lucas then. And she was the only nice person to me. Her and Megan Winnicka were the only people that were nice to me. Those girls hated my guts because they all wanted to date Andy, and I was the outsider. And so I had no friends at first. And the guys were like the only ones that really accepted me. Like, Corey came over one night to a bonfire at my house, and
825 hamburgers,
no joke, that's a legitimate story. It was really like 8 maybe, but they were double patties. But Tiffany reached out to me, and I had been coming for not long, and she was like, hey, do you want to do discipleship? And I was like, why not, you know? Didn't know what it was really, but everybody was doing it, so I was like, sure, I'll do it. I'm also a people pleaser. So we started meeting, and I had my NIV Bible, and so I would be reading like the parts where, you know, your disciple reads, and then we're going through thing. And she would read a verse, and then I would read along in my NIV, and I'm like, that's not making sense. And so the whole time, all I'm doing is thinking about how like my Bible's not matching her Bible, and like her Bible sounds cooler than mine, and well, that doesn't really mean the same thing. And we're like, I don't know, 3 lessons in, and we get to like, you write out 1 John in adult discipleship and stuff. And so we're writing out 1 John, and I get to the 5th chapter, to verse 7, and Rick mentioned it last week, but she's reading 1 John 5:7, and it's not in my Bible. And it like literally skips right over, and I'm like, wait, can you read that again? And she's like, what? I was like, verse 7. Like, I don't have a verse 7. And she goes, she actually didn't know that, like, that the NIV didn't have that verse. She goes, what? And we're looking at it, and she goes, it's gone. And I have it like in here, because this is the Bible I went and bought right after that, but I like wrote not in NIV and I circled it. And then I wrote all the Trinity verses next to it because I was so baffled that they took that verse out of the Bible, because it says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And that is completely eliminated from the Bible that I had. And so I was like, that's it. Threw that thing in the garbage. Went on Sunday morning, bought it KJV. This is the book that I bought. Actually, I bought a Very Precious Seed. But I transcribed my notes to this one. But that was the minute I knew I was in. I was like, I need this in my life. I don't know what this is about. It's the first time I ever wrote out scripture line for line. It's the first time I ever heard anybody talk about a memory verse. Like, what was that? And I was hooked. And it was like that moment where it all clicked for me that, like, this is the Word of God. What have I been doing with my life? I've been saved since I was 11. I have not grown at all. So it really, like, grew leaps and bounds through discipleship with her. And the thing about Tiffany was she's a bold personality. She's a bold girl. She's like me. But she was so kind about the Bible. And she was so genuine about the stuff that I was struggling with and just would listen. She would just listen to me cry and offer, you know, biblical advice, but just offer friendship. And that was the biggest thing for me, was she really became a friend. She didn't judge me for the things that I was dealing with or the stuff I was still stuck in, like social drinking. She worked me through it in love. And we got to chapter 5, which is baptism. I was like, yeah, I've been baptized. That's great. And I remember, so I fill it out. And then I was going through new members at the time. And I'm filling out my testimony for that. And we're in the car one day. And Tom calls me. Pastor Tom. He's never called me a day in my life. And I was, like, terrified. It's like, Pastor Tom is calling.
Except when he asked if you should marry me.
Yeah. Well, this is before. It was before that. So he called. And he goes, hey, I wanted to talk to you about your testimony for new members class. I'm like, oh, okay. And he goes, you know, what the church that you were baptized at, I was looking at their doctrine online, and they actually believe in baptism for salvation. And I was like, I was 13 when I got baptized. And I just did it because it was the next thing to do. But I'd already gotten saved at VBS. And I was like, what? I didn't even know the doctrine of the church that I went to. I had no idea that that's what they believed. So he's working me through this, and he goes, yeah, he's like, I mean, your heart was right, but I really don't think you were scripturally baptized. And I was like, it really broke my heart. I was like, what do I do with that? Like, I don't understand. And so it took me a couple of days to think about it. He was like, I just want you to think about it. He's like, if you want to do a redo, you know, we can do that. And I prayed about it. I talked to Tiffany about it. And I just decided, you know, like, I didn't want my baptism or my testimony for the Lord to be wrapped up in any other doctrine or any other nonsense or appear that, like, that's what I thought. Because she had already worked me through baptism in chapter 5, and I was all in. I was like, yeah, that's what I did. I did it because it was the right thing to do. And but God really convicted my heart through discipleship, and so I got rebaptized here. And some people were like, why would you rebaptize? And like, because I just wanted it to be the right way. Like, and no questions asked. But discipleship is what got me there. Discipleship's what changed my heart about a lot of things. And just got through with her. And then I was just so on fire. And it just took a couple months where I was like, you know what? Like, I want to disciple people. And so my first disciple, Hillary, was phenomenal. Like, she was just, like, we had the same birthday, so that was cool. And she's Andy's best friend's sister, and so it was just like a really sweet relationship. And like every relationship I've had, they've not all gone perfectly. We've had to cut it with a couple of people, but it is like the heartbeat. And when you get into it and you really think about where would you be without discipleship, like I'd still be that girl drinking with her friends. Wouldn't be here with him, and I would be like an idiot. So discipleship is one of those things that like keeps me accountable personally. And I know it's like just become a part of our life. Like we don't even think about it. It's like, you know, when's discipleship? And when we're not discipling, we're like, I need a disciple. So I would just encourage you guys, like, it's not always perfect. It's not always pretty, but man, it'll change your whole life.